Welcome to the Hunger for Change podcast. I'm Niklas Gustafsson, and today I will be talking to Maria Emmerich. Maria Emmerich is a wellness expert in nutrition and exercise, and a best-selling author with almost 20 years of experience. She has a history of struggling with weight, IBS, PCOS, acid reflux, and depression. And after doctors told her there was no cure, she took her health into her own hands and completely turned it around through diet. I'm a huge fan of Maria's creative recipes. She has shared hundreds in her website, social media, and books. She travels around the world giving talks about the keto diet, has authored over 20 books, and coaches people to help them reach optimal health. Thank you, Maria, so much for being with us today, and I hope you enjoy this episode. So, Maria, first of all, what does health mean to you? And tell me a little bit about your health journey.
Well, for me, my health journey was back 26 years ago when I was 16 years old. I went to the doctor because I wasn't feeling well. I was twice my size. And at that doctor's visit, I was given something for acid reflux. I was given an antidepressant because I was pretty depressed. I was given a medication for IBS. And I also was told I had PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is basically a type 2 diabetes that affects female fertility. And the doctor asked me what she said. She never asked me what I was eating. She said it was nothing I was doing wrong. It was just the cards I was dealt in life. But at that time, I worked at a coffee shop where I would, before high school, I would go and I would make the scones and the muffins and the cinnamon rolls. And then after school, I would go back and we would close about 5 p.m. And whatever didn't sell that day, I got to go home with. So I was making extra cinnamon rolls just so I could have that for dinner. And I was living off of mochas. And when you look into what causes PCOS, there wasn't the internet back then. However, you look into the medical literature, it's excess caffeine, sugar, and carbohydrates. And that's what I was living off of. And so I had to look at myself and really change what I was doing, but I didn't want to eat chicken breast and broccoli because that's just gross. And so I was just recreating some of my favorite foods into exotic, low-carb, ketogenic recipes that taste delicious. And pretty soon, when we were trying to adopt the children, my husband lost his job and someone said, Maria, you should put your recipes together to make a cookbook to raise money for your adoption. And so I did. And I think it's my best book because I was, you know, thinking about my children the whole time. But for me, health, I think it's the whole gamut. I think it's not just what you're putting into your body. It's what you're putting into your mind and it's what you're putting out into the world. Because I think that some people think they're healthy because they're eating all the most nutrient-dense foods like organ meat. However, they're not putting love into the world. And I don't think that's a healthy person. I think it needs to be, I think we all need to work on what we're putting out into the world because there's just too many people that are ready to like smash others.
Totally. Yeah. What would you say, Maria, are the main benefits of the keto diet?
I think the main benefit is it squashes inflammation. And inflammation is the stem of all diseases. In my book called Keto, The Complete Guide to Success, I have a disease tree. And the roots come down and the diseases come out and there's all these diseases. And cutting inflammation is the best way to get rid of all of these diseases. You know, whether it be, you know, cancer and heart disease. And I don't want to say like keto can cure cancer because I do not believe that. There's so many other pieces to that puzzle, but like heart disease and diabetes and all of these issues, it kills inflammation. You know, we all know that sugar is inflammatory. And to me, when you put a cracker in your mouth, even though it's not sweet, it doesn't have sugar, it turns into sugar in your blood.
Yeah.
Cutting that stuff off is important too.
So, what advice would you give to someone that is starting off with a ketogenic diet?
I think that you need to set yourself up for success. And you know what I want to say? It's how your mind is. Because when someone told me, when the doctor said, Maria, you can't have your own kids, did I go, oh, poor me? No, I took life by the balls and I was like, I'm going to adopt children and change their lives. And I feel that's the same way when people are like, oh, Maria said I can't have any bread. I can't have any rice. Like, oh, this sucks. But if you say, Maria said that I can have chicken wings and ribs and a steak, like all these things I thought were bad, I get to have these.
Yeah.
That person's going to win. Because mm-hmm. if you're always thinking negative, nobody wants to be around you either, but it's also going to set you up for failure.
Totally. So is the keto diet for everyone? Your kids, for example, what do they eat? What did they eat when they were babies?
It's the most nutrient dense way to fuel your body. We are an input output system. You wouldn't put diesel in a gas engine and expect it to run, but we're doing that daily, especially with children. We're giving them, you know, chips and French fries and all of these things. No, my kids have never had chips. They've never had French fries. Mm. They don't know what an M&M is. We were at a cabin. We rented a cabin for the weekend. And I was like, these were when they were little. I said, boys, pick your Legos up, because they love to play Legos. And they picked up these Legos. They were kind of digging underneath the couch and they picked up a round Lego with an M on it. And they're like, Mom, this Lego is broken. And I was like, I love you so much that you do not know what that is. Because that's just society. It's a food dye and sugar and chemicals. But my kids, the first thing I gave them was bone marrow. And I think that's just like this perfect savory jello. But whatever we were eating, that's what they ate. So if we were having salmon, it was salmon. First, it was pureed salmon. I used bone broth. They would drink bone broth to make it thinner. But then once they could chew, you know, just little pieces of salmon, it's like perfect. Yeah. And
I agree. That's perfect baby food. You don't need to chew it. And it's so nutrient dense with a lot of great fatty acids, right? I give my kids, since they were babies as well, bone marrow and oysters. And they love oysters. And the thing is that if you give your kids chicken nuggets and French fries and all these processed foods when they're kids, they're going to be used to it and they want to crave that food for the rest of their lives. But if you don't, if you give them like more paleo, like food that we had thousands of years ago, they're going to want that food for the rest of their lives, right?
If you look at our ancestral timeline, our bodies, I mean, we've only had like farming and like these processed foods for just a blip in our past.
Exactly.
Yeah. We don't know how to process that stuff. And I don't think we're ever going to learn how to process, especially those trans fats.
Mm. I totally agree. Totally agree with you. So what about, I mean, I've been doing the paleo diet for more than 12 years now. And I still get those sugar cravings. Do you ever get them? And I mean, how should a beginner deal with these sugar cravings?
Sugar is it's very powerful in the brain. The way it signals these triggers, sugar addiction is real. Mm. The best thing to do, instead of being like, oh, I can never have sugar again, I would say give yourself 15 days. Because after 15 days, you're going to get a new set of taste buds on your palate. And the foods that you think you crave, think that you like, those new taste buds are going to be open to new tastes, right? I do use things like stevia. Stevia glycerite is like a non-bitter stevia. I don't do honey and stuff just because it does affect my blood sugar way too much. You know, with PCOS, I'm very sensitive to all of that.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, if you give yourself 15 days, that's like nothing. That's like a fart in the wind, you know, like you're going to be past 15 days and you're already going to have a new lease on taste.
Yeah. I mean, for me, as I told you, I've been doing the following the paleo diet for more than 12 years, and I still get the sugar cravings, you know, but I mean, I still... I also agree with what you say that as soon as you start lowering your sugar intake, then your body asks for less sugar, for sure.
Do you drink coffee?
I don't drink coffee. Never drank coffee.
That's awesome, like, because I know that people that do the caffeine or like coffee, your blood sugar goes up on average about 8%. And then later in the afternoon, that's when you get sugar cravings because it's coming down. So that's not your answer. I'm not sure.
I'm curious what you mentioned, stevia. In Europe, the stevia is synthetic. Do you, when you say stevia, do you get those the leaves from Peru and you use those, or do you use synthetic steviol?
You can certainly buy a stevia plant and have it in your house.
Yeah.
No, I do use the product. I do use the product. I'll be honest, like that. There's a stevia glycerite. It's called. It's a non-bitter stevia. And it's organic stevia with some like a glycerite form.
Okay.
I'm so judging. So, like, I'm not a judgy person. So like, I don't know.
So recently I hear more about being ketosis. That's great for a day, a couple of days, a few days. But if you're constantly in ketosis, that would be not so good for your health, because it's a kind of a state of emergency for the body. It raises your cortisol levels, which raises your glucose levels. What do you say about that?
I think a sugar addict said that study, because I think when you're in a state of high blood sugars, that's much more dangerous than a ketogenic state any day. I've been doing this for 26 years now, and I have yet to wait for a cortisol rise like that. And I want to say this too, like, there's been some really difficult events that I've had to deal with in my life. There's no way I would have been able to get through them in a positive manner if I wasn't eating this way. I feel like I'm much more even keel. Bad things do happen, and I'm able to deal with them much better than when I did with sugar.
Okay. Yeah. You don't agree?
No, I don't agree.
Mm-hmm. I know that you're a runner and that you've been running marathons. How do you, when you reach that wall, you know, in Europe, we say it's like between kilometer 25 and 28. What do you do? Do you use those gels? Do you take a banana? How do you get energy fast?
I've never done the gels or a banana. I would bring electrolytes, salt, potassium. However, I never really hit a wall, because when you're in a ketogenic state, you have infinite amount of fat to use for your energy. And I see this with my children too, which I'll get to in a second. But like, when you're running off of glucose, you only have about 2000 calories in your liver and your muscles. So when you run out of that, that's when you hit the wall and you need to grab the gels and stuff. But if you're automatically starting with your fat cells, with your, you know, free fatty acids, you will make it through without hitting that wall. And I see that with my children, because we're playing on the beach down here all the time with other kids. And the other kids have to stop and have lunch or a snack. And my kids are just like running circles around. I'm like, come on. And I just see it in them a lot too.
I believe that when you, because I run a few marathons myself, Ironmans as well. And I believe that it's amazing. I haven't done the one in Hawaii yet, but I hope I will get there as well.
I'll watch you on TV.
So I do notice then that when I started going paleo and I started to get my energy from fat instead of from carbs, I do notice that the difference between burning carbs and burning fat, that's much more smooth. My body knows, it learns how to burn fat better than I did before when I was carb loading, you know. So I think that's an amazing change that your body does when you start to realize how to burn fat. But still, when you've been on the bike for several hours and then you're doing the marathon and you're like reaching, you're getting closer to the finish line, your body screams for fast energy. It doesn't want to like burn it the slow way. I do still get those. I do my own bars. I mix pine nuts with dates and a lot of fat. Actually, I add some extra coconut oil in that. But still, I would say at the marathon, I do eat bananas and gels.
Well, I'm a stubborn German girl, so let's just put it that way. But I've never done an Ironman or an ultra marathon. I know that Zach Bitter. Are you familiar with Zach Bitter?
Yeah, I heard of
him. He's the world record holder for the 100-mile race, and he does like a couple short. His amount of carbohydrates is still very small, but he does use those for short bursts. But right. You know, I'm not there to win the marathon. I'm just there to, you know, get done in 3 hours.
Me too. I'm just there to enjoy. Maria, I recently watched one of your YouTube videos where you talked about the good sugar spikes. And actually, I never heard that before. So could you, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. And you actually talk about the good stress.
Well, that's the thing, like wearing a glucometer or CGM is getting very popular now. And it's especially getting popular in people that are already eating keto or paleo, who don't really need it. Mm. The people that need it are like those teenagers eating the sugar. And then I want to see them have like chronic high blood sugar. I want them to be scared into lowering the carbohydrates. But someone like myself, wearing a CGM, do I get scared if it goes up because I ate a big old steak? No, because protein will raise it, but that's not a bad thing. Things like exercise. I literally got this question like 3 times last week. Maria, should I stop exercising? Because when I exercise, my blood sugar goes up. Really? I think that's just a ridiculous question, because you know what's going to lower your blood sugar the most? Alcohol. So yeah, let's all just sit around and drink some vodka and not like sit on our butts watching TV. That's not a good thing. Good things like sauna will raise your blood sugar. Some cryotherapy will do that. Going to the dentist is going to do that. Like different things will raise it. It doesn't mean you should stop. Natural. That's natural, yeah. Right? Yeah, if it's totally, chronically totally. Elevated blood sugar, like chronic stress, that's different. But like, you know, running a marathon, yeah, your blood sugar is going to go up, but you need it.
Totally. Yeah, you need it. That's the body's response to needs more energy. It raises your blood sugar. That's the way it should be. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
So one of my goals in terms of nutrition education is to demystify cholesterol and sort of clean up the animal fat reputation. I see that you've been doing that as well. What is your take on the link people so often see and discuss between cholesterol and heart disease?
Well, your body needs cholesterol. If you don't eat it, your liver is going to make it. And your liver's not invincible. Your liver is going to get tired, right? So I would give your liver a break and eat a bunch of egg yolks and some lobster and things that are high in cholesterol, because you need cholesterol. Cholesterol makes healthy hormones. So to my point, when a woman goes through menopause, her cholesterol levels automatically rise. And to a traditional medical doctor, they're like, you need to go on a statin drug to lower your cholesterol, right? Mm. But to me, to you, you see, okay, cholesterol rises to try to get the ovaries to put out estrogen and progesterone. But they're not going to do that anymore because she's just past her time of having babies. But the cholesterol is going to stay elevated. And that's not a bad thing. It just means, or someone who has a thyroid disorder, low thyroid numbers, cholesterol rises to help make that thyroid make more hormones. Does that make sense? Cholesterol is essential for, this is why cholesterol is really great for fertility and pregnancy, because you want those healthy hormones, you know, but
totally.
Yeah. Cholesterol causing heart disease. I mean, my grandpa had his first heart attack at 32, and that's really? Because he never ate butter. It was always, I can't believe it's not butter.
He should stayed follow away. That low fat diet, right?
Low fat diet and the fake fats. And then my grandma ended up having Alzheimer's because of that. Those fake fats.
That's horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I do have quite high LDL myself, like like 190, sometimes even 250.
Have you been told you're a lean mass hyperlipid responder?
Yeah, I mean, when I go to the doctor, I go once or twice a year to make this check. They're checking all my blood levels and blood work, and I mean the doctor immediately says you should be on statins, you know, and without knowing actually without checking the rest of my biomarkers, and I think that is horrible, so at the finally. A few months ago, I did a scan, magnetic scan, because I wanted to see if I had some calcifications, and I had zero. So actually, I want to do something about that on my social media, because I think it's really important for people to know that a high LDL doesn't necessarily have to be bad. Actually, it can be good.
It can be good. It's called the lean mass hyperlipid responder. If you look up Dave Feldman is a dear friend of mine, and he's doing a lot of studies about people like you and myself. I'm it's someone who's usually lean that exercises a lot and eats a fatty diet. He's a high fat diet. That's usually a lean mass. But I had a client who she had high cholesterol, and her husband was a heart surgeon, and he would make fun of her like, oh, you have high cholesterol, this and that. And he always had good cholesterol, and he was eating, you know, oatmeal and a lot of high carb things. And we said, honey, Sally, why don't you get a calcium score? And let's see, you know, what that means. And she got her calcium score was zero. And he's like, oh, I should get one. So her husband got one, and it was in the 300s. He was like a minute away from a stroke. And he still thanks us, because as a heart surgeon, we need to educate those types of people on what is the true cause of heart disease.
It's totally.
Inflammation.
So another thing that I like, when you in your social media, you focus on the factors that influence the results that we, you know, how the way we eat. It's not only about swapping a single food for another food. And as an example, people often tell me how bad it is to eat them more than one egg a day. You know, so how do you approach that?
I think they equated eating eggs to like smoking 10 cigarettes a day. I mean, really, how can we see that? Eggs are like the most perfect food. It's filled with all these nutrients. It has fat. It has protein. I just think there's a lot of fear mongering, and I think the vegan voice is very loud. I think there's a lot of power behind it. Doesn't mean that they're right, but I do want to fear. They're fear mongering us. I'm not afraid of eggs.
Don't you think that there are, I mean, there is no money in organic eggs, organic meat, wild caught fish. There is no money in that, but there is a lot of money in processed food. Don't you think that that's the reason why we get this misinformation or disinformation?
I never even thought of that, but you're totally right. And like, we blame, you know, cows for the cow farts for making the environment and the ozone being so bad. Guess what? During COVID, when nobody was flying and nobody was driving to work, what happened? The ozone got so much better. They still had the same amount of cows out there. It's not the cows causing it.
No, I know. That's crazy.
But I also wanted to say, like, the true issue, I think if we got people off of medications, and all those pharmaceutical like companies that are really polluting our environment, that's where we're going to save the environment. Getting people off medication by having them eat steak and eggs.
Totally. I also, another thing that I've seen that you talked about, that there's different percentages between fat and protein and carbs, the macronutrients. And I've seen that you don't recommend people to follow certain percentages. Why is that?
Because it's going to cause you to fail if you follow percentages. But if you do macros, that is where you'll find success, because percentages is very skewed. But if you do macros, your own personal macros, which I do have, I mean, I toot my own horn, I have a free macro calculator on my website. because you have a different muscle amount than I do, right? So your macros are going to be much different and your protein is going to be much higher than mine because you're a male and you have more muscle mass. So, and I do wish people would follow a ketogenic diet with more protein than fat. A lot of people are doing like 70% fat with very little protein, and they might see a lot of weight loss on the scale, but you are losing muscle mass.
Yeah.
Where if you flip it, I mean, proteins like give you beautiful hair, your skin, your nails, and then fat is on top of that. Because a lot of people automatically think a ketogenic diet is great for fat loss. If you're eating butter in your coffee, that's not going to help.
Why not? Why isn't it going to help you?
Oh, well, okay, if you're coming from eating cereal to that, sure. But I have a lot of charts showing how many nutrients are in that fatty coffee, which coffee is filled with mold anyway, and it makes you less insulin. It makes you less insulin sensitive also. Or if you have steak and eggs for the same amount of calories, this is where the nutrients are. There's no nutrients in that fatty coffee. The nutrients are here, and you have a lot of protein to give you muscles, hair, skin, nails, all of that. That's what you want to do.
So in your, I mean, if, how more or less, I know that you don't want to talk about percentages, like exact percentages, but more or less, what would you say is your relation between fats, protein, and carbs? Carbs, I suppose, is very low, but protein and fat.
Me personally?
Yeah.
I would say close to zero carbohydrates, just because besides like scallops and eggs, I don't do much else. Honestly, mine's probably 50-50, but it's because I am very lean. I don't have a lot of body fat to use for fuel, and I exercise a lot.
Yeah.
If somebody were to want, they were overweight, wanting to lose weight, and they're not active, I would say, let's do 80-20, 80 protein, 20 fat.
Okay. Yeah.
How many meals a day do you have?
I got caught up with doing the OMAD thing, the one meal a day, and I ended up losing a lot of muscle mass.
Yeah.
So I personally don't really recommend OMAD. I don't like to be excessively full either. So I do three meals a day. I still do it in my 8-hour window. You know, like I still like the idea of intermittent fasting to give my body time to rest and not be processed, you know, nutrients. So I still do an 8-hour window, but I do three meals. Yeah.
What is your take on autoimmune diseases? Do you think that a ketogenic diet can help you heal autoimmune diseases?
I have thousands and thousands of testimonies of different autoimmune Hashimoto's, Graves, MS, Parkinson's, you name it, reversing it, getting off medication, going into remission. However, I do believe a lot of times a ketogenic diet is just way too high in dairy. And so that's why a lot of my books are dairy free. Most of them are, because cutting out dairy, because we all like know gluten is bad. Let's cut out the gluten and the grains, but we keep the cheese and all of that in. And that is causing more of an autoimmune response than I think gluten is in many places. So cutting out both of them is key, as well as getting in some like high doses of some different micronutrients like selenium or whatever the thyroid is screaming for. So yeah,
you do believe that it's, I agree completely, but I do think that dairy, I mean, there is a difference between processed milk, homogenized, pasteurized milk, and also if you recently, I mean, the last couple of years, I've been having goat milk and goat cheese, which I don't think triggers your immune system as much as cow's milk.
I also know for a fact that European dairy and things like that, much different than it is in the US. I have dear friends live in Europe, and when they come to visit and they have yogurt or something here, they're they are having some reactions where they don't have any issues in Europe.
I know. Yeah. I know. I heard that this has to do with the kind of cows, because the protein in the milk is different.
Must be.
Have you heard that as well?
I haven't heard that, but it sounds like, I think the way we process it too must be much, much different.
So what is your approach when planning your meals, your recipes and the meals? Do you experiment a lot, or did you experiment before and you're done experimenting?
I do, like, I'm still writing recipes. I do them for clients. I do them for different companies and things like that. But when it comes to me, and when it comes to even my children, we feel like we're kind of like dogs. We can eat the same thing and it doesn't bother us. We know what we like. We know what's the most nutrient dense. But it's usually, you know, beef, like steak, scallops. You know, there's a lot of fresh fish that we eat here that we love. We do my protein bread, where I use eggs. It's pretty awesome. But we're pretty simple when it comes to our daily intake, you know, what we like to have every day. So planning is very simple, because I know what I'm making, and I'm not cooking a lot every day, but I'm very smart about it. Like, I batch cook. Like, my kids love like my tacos. And so when I make the taco meat, I do like a quadruple batch, and I'll put half in the freezer. And then whenever they want an easy lunch, it's easy to warm that up. And then we have these like taco shells made out of like egg whites. And it's very, very simple to make something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just very, like, they love my Italian chili. And so I'll do a big batch of that. And then they just have to warm it up when they want a bowl. So I'm very smart about it. We're smarter, not harder.
Yeah, we do the same here. I mean, batch. You call it batch cooking, right? When you cook a lot and you put it in the freezer, that's. I mean, that's the way to I think to get an easy. An easy life about cooking, because you just take it out of your freezer and the for example the meat, you can have it for months and it never expires, right, in the freezer.
Yep.
So what about you? You mentioned that you eat a lot of fish, seafood. You're not afraid of pesticides, microplastics? Is it all wild caught in Hawaii?
It is wild caught here. I will say, if you look at the nutrient profile, like, things like selenium helps you detox if there's any mercury in it, it's going to help you detox that stuff. So I would suggest the smaller the fish,
the less
toxins they'll have. So choosing a smaller fish is
less tuna fish, less swordfish, like less of those big fish, right?
Yep, have the smaller ones, like opaka-paka.
What would you say, going back to the keto diet, what is the biggest difference between men and women in keto diet?
Well, women have a bunch of hormones that come into play. Like, men, I think when it comes to, like, even like the carnivore diet and things like that, it's much maybe easier for them. Where women, we have these hormones that they change our pain tolerance, they change our cravings, and it's just the estrogen, progesterone really kind of control that. So that's where one thing kind of comes into play. We also like go through a process where our body's ready to make a baby, and then it wants different nutrients. And even like our exercise levels get very different, like the times of the month you can exercise better. So just being aware of that, being aware that you might really crave carbohydrates and sugar during certain times of the month, but, you know, you kind of learn your tips and tricks on how to beat them.
Yeah. Do you have any specific morning routine?
Yeah. I have had a morning routine for decades, which I love. I love getting up very early. I'm a morning bird. I will go to bed so early so I can wake up early and have that sunrise all to myself. Yeah. And I usually, like, I'll work a little bit when I first wake up because it's so dark out, but then I'll go run the beach and I'll watch the sunrise when I'm running. And it's just, if I don't do that, like if I have a flight or something where, because I like never missed a day of running in years, but if I have a flight or something that causes me not to, it just feels like the day's not right. Something's off.
And what about breakfast?
My breakfast is after my run. I wait to eat until after I run. And it's usually close after I run. And it's usually a tenderloin steak.
Really? Yeah. With just the steak, or you have anything with the steak?
I make, it's called the best steak sauce ever. It's really good. And I always have that in the fridge and I have that on there. But I also, I bow hunt with a bow and arrow.
Okay.
So we'll do venison, like tenderloins and stuff like that. That's really good. But it's very easy. I just like, you fry it up for like 5 minutes and you have a great breakfast.
Yeah. Do you, so we talk about cooking. So you say you fry the steak. Do you also put it on, do you put it on the grill as well? Do you boil it? What is your preferred way of doing the steak?
I sometimes grill them, but cast iron is my favorite. Cast iron for sure. Yep. I just got some Wagyu lard or tallow, Wagyu tallow, and that makes like a perfect crust on the outside.
What do you prefer to fry in? Is it butter or tallow? Or is maybe coconut oil?
Tallow gives you the best crust on the outside. It gives you like almost.
I agree.
Yeah. So that for sure.
Yeah. Do you use coconut oil?
I do sometimes, yeah. Especially if I'm trying to avoid dairy. But I prefer butter over coconut oil.
What's your favorite dessert?
My favorite dessert? Probably ice cream. I think that even heavy cream can be so sweet on its own. You really don't need to add much to it.
Okay. So the cream is the sugar.
There's, you know, it's just
the
natural
sweet part.
Yeah. You know, you could add your honey if you want to, a little bit of monk fruit drops. We do monk fruit also.
Is there anything that you think that I missed? Is there anything else that you want to add that you think is important when you talk about the ketogenic diet?
I just want to encourage people to try it if they haven't. If they need help with macros or ideas on what to eat, you know, I have thousands of free recipes that are delicious. And I don't know, like I want people to try it because I feel like a totally different person. You know, where I think people are starting to, they feel normal, but their normal is not their best, what they could be, you know? So.
Great. Thank you so much, Maria. This has been really, really an amazing interview. And I learned so much.
You're so generous. I'm very grateful.
Thank you for tuning in to the Hunger for Change podcast. I also wanted to take a moment to talk about Naturally, my brand of healthy food products. At Naturally, we are on a mission to change the world through what we eat. This is why we worked so hard to make products that are delicious and also good for you. They're all gluten-free and have no refined sugar. My personal favorites are the cheesy snacks, chocolates, and cacao hazelnut spread. We also have kale chips, granolas, nut bars, nut butters, and protein powders, as well as many cool snacks to be released this year. At the moment, Naturally is only available in Europe. You can head over to our website, naturally.com, and it will take you to our online store. If you're in Italy, Portugal, Germany, Poland, France, the Netherlands, or Sweden, you can find them in Amazon. Search for Naturally. I will leave all of these links in the description anyway, so that you can find them. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.